Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 332 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on July 23rd, 2019. My name is Dan Gorman. Hit a ding dong doodle with my bing bong bat.
My name is Casey Lyons, and Keanu Reeves, have you heard of him? He's my friend. I punched him in the face.
My name is Greg LeGros, and the world record for pancakes eaten in one sitting is 73 pancakes. That is held by a Russian man whose life must be an unendurable hellscape of excruciating sadness.
We have lots of stuff to talk about. Two people won, one person lost. We watched a terrible movie and hopefully a great movie, and we'll talk about those in Film Roulette, and we'll talk about our punishment album and give a punishment album for next week as well. But otherwise, you can find us online at info@modernsuperior.com. Send us your emails. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at SYNWPC, which is where the notifications will go out that new episodes have dropped. There you go.
What?
When you least expect
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Sometimes a month almost to the day.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh.
What's up, dudes?
Scotty, all the things.
Yeah.
Couple things.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Summer.
Summer's happening. Summer's in full swing, baby.
Yeah.
it's been hot as fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I don't.
That's
the end of that.
What? Yeah, it's hot. You know, my air conditioning didn't work for like 7 weeks.
Yeah, ours too.
That was some dog
really?
Shit.
Yeah, our thermostat was broken. It was a fucking nightmare.
Our house has been... cool breeze.
Yeah. It's like a week ago today, I got my fucking AC back.
Yeah, me too.
It was no good.
We were sweating it out together.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We were able to like get a crosswind going, but in order to get a crosswind going, I have to open the door to the hallway.
Yeah.
So then I'm like a college dorm guy with a door open a crack.
Come on in.
What up? I was gas or grass, you guys. I built a spill.
I was in fan madness, getting the fans going.
Yeah,
which is like, well, there's a breeze, but now I can't hear anything. No TV watching with the fan on, so loud.
Yeah,
and yeah. But anyway, it's nice to have air conditioning.
It's a real good Sophie's choice.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah, brutal.
But you know. Heat waves.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I fucking love them. It's been beautiful.
Great.
I don't care. Bring on the humidity. Hot as shit. I don't care. I love it.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And I, like, at least once a day, I take a moment to appreciate the summer that we're in because we've only got about a week and a half left of it before it starts snowing and becomes shit country.
Yeah. Well, speaking of I love it, let's talk about some news that we love and or don't love. Do you guys have anything off the top of your brains?
Well, there's all that San Diego shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that is
the comic
fairly
book.
Epic amount of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was it's a big time for Marvel news.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvel was like, hey, you know how we always have our movies planned out like a million years in advance? Well, this time we have our movies planned out a million years in advance, and every single one of them looks cool.
Yeah,
and also
super
like,
cool.
Hey, you know how we usually plan out our movies and you know who they're about? Not this time, baby.
Yeah,
because I don't know shit about most of these things, but in every single one, there's something that's cool enough that makes me go, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So on all these TV shows, I'm so curious how they're going to work.
Yeah.
Like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Well, they spent $120 million on The Mandalorian for Disney+. It's not like they're going to skimp out on the Marvel shit that's guaranteed to return.
It should be interesting. But I like that setup. I like Anthony Mackie, and he's going to have the fucking shield, and he's sort of like Captain America Falcon, which is fucking sweet.
Yeah. This is for the Falcon and the Snowman? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
I can't not think that.
Yeah, every
time.
They should
have put
like,
Winter Soldier first.
What is a snowman if not a Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
And there's the WandaVision show.
Yes. That's spring 2021.
I still don't understand how that's going to work, but that's fine. I also
don't understand why it has such a stupid name. Like, sure, I get her name's Wanda and his name's Vision, but come on, guys.
Yeah.
Let's not settle on the first thing somebody throws out in the writer's room.
People were saying, like, oh, WandaVision, it's like a sitcom title. But then you look at the Hawkeye logo.
Yeah.
That's like a 90s Nickelodeon show.
Totally.
And
I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had time with his blossoming singing career.
Yeah.
Which we'll be taking
thanks
off.
Thanks for reminding me.
I thought it was a foregone conclusion.
I don't think the album's out yet.
I don't know. I just know that one single. And it is atrocious.
Oh, really? You guys didn't like it? You guys didn't think it was the best
song? Is atrocious
in the
a bad word?
No, it means best song ever.
Yeah, it was
atrocious. That shit was atrocious as fuck, y'all.
Eternals. What if is bananas.
Yeah. What if? That comic series is dynamite.
Yeah.
I loved reading when I was a kid. It was so, so, so good. So they can do anything they want with that. And the list of people who are going to work on it is pretty enormous.
And that's the whole point of the What If series is like, it's just whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like literally like,
is it usually
Spider-Man had a fucking...
is it usually like, that like Spider-Man had something or is it usually what if these two worlds were together, is that like or
kind
these
of
characters
like, they
met?
Do stuff that's like sort of weird or like, you know, what if Flash Thompson became Spider-Man instead of Peter Parker, or like they'll take a famous storyline and, you know, what if the X-Men had lost Inferno.
Oh, okay.
Inferno was a big crossover series in the 90s, and there was one.
Yeah.
There was a what if the X-Men lost Inferno that is dark as fuck. Because they're all like just possessed by demons, and Wolverine eats a baby in it. It's really dark shit.
Oh.
It's very insane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. It's dynamite.
Yeah.
Jim Lee art, super good.
And that's and What If is going to be a show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Animation.
Yeah.
Animated.
Yeah, great. And then you got the movie slate, so the Eternals thing with that fucking insane cast.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Eternals.
Is that the one with Kumail?
Yeah.
I'm blown the fuck away that Kumail, like, again, and I call him Kumail like I fucking know the guy, but he was like, he was one of the little guys. Like, he was one of the comedians that was like, oh, you know, he's like one of our guys, one of the comedy nerds guys, and now he's this fucking huge thing. And it doesn't make me sad or anything. It makes me so happy. And
totally.
Now he's doing like serious shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah. And then, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
That's a title.
Yeah.
And they're saying that's going to be more of a horror movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Which is cool, but also I was kind of like, how is Doctor Strange going to fit in? Because the character from the movie Doctor Strange doesn't feel like it. Like, I feel like, will that fit into it? Like, how are they going to tackle the horror?
I think there's a campy enough way to do horror. And I think that the first movie set it up enough that, because the first movie's got kind of like,
it's got a trippy vibe.
Fun, trippy vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's a line of camp that you can, that you can run with what they've set up that I think that's
And fucking how he's dressed in that, in, you know, his pad. He's like, he's in a Hammer film.
Yeah,
that's,
you're right.
That's the thing, right?
You're
if
right.
they do it like an old kind of 70s,
mm-hmm. You're right.
Vincent Price kind
it
of
sounds
a vibe.
Like one that title like
yeah,
I feel
totally.
Like they're going for
feels
a big,
like H.P. Lovecraft or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even really think about that, like the gothicness of his, like, yeah, where he lives and stuff, and all the, like, yeah, the dusty libraries and stuff. Yeah,
for sure.
That's going to be
that
cool.
That is super cool. Mahershala Ali is Blade. What?
That fucking blew my mind.
Yeah, that was insane. Like, because no talk about this coming or anything, and then, oh, by the way, we have a 2-time Oscar winner dropping in to play Blade.
Yeah. That rules.
Like, fucking so bananas. And I said this on our Facebook thread. I'm really excited to see how they fit vampire lore into the existing reality of the MCU.
Well, that's a multiverse thing, and that's how they're going to open that fucking thing up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm so
fine,
on board
great,
for.
Good.
I'm
it's
so
a,
fucking
it's
on board
a wonderful
for.
Concept. Roll with it.
Yeah.
And then first you get the news that there's going to be a Thor 4, which is wicked, at the expense of Akira being put on hold again, which, listen, I want to see it real bad, but, you know, I don't know if it's going
to
work.
I don't want to see it more than I want to see
another
the
Thor
changing
with,
of the guard of a Thor movie helmed again by Taika Waititi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and with Natalie Portman as Mighty Thor.
Yeah, I didn't know that shit. We all heard about Thor 4, and holy fucking, that's awesome, because Hemsworth is, like, reborn in the character. Like, what a great reinvention midstream. Like, it's a total game changer. Then you find out they're going to do female Thor, which has been a thing in the comics. It's not like they're switching. I've seen the fucking ding-dongs on Twitter already show up. Like, it's like,
already
Jane Foster
to be wrong.
Was Thor for fucking 3 years
seriously.
In the comics or something like that.
Like, I don't even read comics, and I remember that, like, as a thing. People were like, this is sweet.
Yeah. Because he became the unworthy. I think Thor died, and he became mortal, and he was the unworthy. And she picked up the fucking hammer because she's worthy, and she becomes Thor and goes off. And the design's great, and that's going to be fucking neato.
Yeah. The thing about those guys on Twitter is that nobody cares. Nobody cares about those people's opinion.
No.
Like, those same people were like, I don't have any problem with black people. I just don't think Ariel from Little Mermaid needs to be black because in the original, she's not black. Oh, yeah, and the fucking first Disney one is the original dipshit.
Yeah.
But also, that is happening. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely happening. And it's likely that we're going to get a black woman as the next 007.
Yeah.
And that is happening whether you go on Twitter to vent your shitty frustration or not. This is the way the rest of us are moving forward. So, cool. Just stay back there and die.
Yeah.
The rest of us are moving forward
but
in a really cool way.
Please tweet out that you're a racist first, so we all know.
Let us know that you suck so we can identify you and just kind of kick you as we walk by. But I love that. I love those people on Twitter now. Because it's like, hey, no, actually, there's no female Thor. It's like, are you still alive?
Yeah, I'm excited about that Thor movie for sure.
That's pretty. That's gonna again, be dope. Taika Waititi, Love and Thunder, and the fucking
the font for it.
Oh. Fuck off! It's like Masters of the Universe,
dude. It's just like when Ragnarok. We were like, hey, that movie's gonna be good because we saw that font for Ragnarok. And it's like, you know it's coming.
It's like he's making movies that look like Judas Priest albums. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So
good. I think we haven't talked about Loki as a TV show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's Loki. That's going to be the Loki that we that took off midway through Endgame with the Tesseract.
Yeah.
So he's not had the growth of the Loki we last saw.
Yeah, he's not like good guy Loki.
He's still
the shithead
Loki.
With the Tesseract.
Yeah. I didn't bother to start reading what all the font each letter of Loki
it's
was from something else. I'm like, I don't know if that means anything. I didn't bother to research
it either.
And then non-Marvel though, that fucking Picard trailer.
Yeah.
Which was just everything
looks
magical.
Good.
I know you guys aren't Star Trek guys.
Yeah.
But Picard,
it looks
Data, Borg, 7 of 9, Engage. Fucking holy shit. Oh man. That's some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks very good.
I got far ish into that list that you gave me of the original series.
Right.
I like it.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know enough about
I tell you what.
It just looks like a good show.
I'll pass something
to me.
On to you if you want to check it out. Because Athena's not really seen much of it either. And I was like, maybe I'll dig through TNG and make like a top 10.
Show me some top 10
just
of that.
So she gets a vibe to get in, because I'm going to be watching the fuck out of Picard, so she can watch it with me. And like, and a little bit of maybe a little taste of Deep Space Nine as well. Voyager, it's hard to pick and choose from because it's kind of like a, it is a one big story.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I'd be down for that. Because
I'll pass along my top 10
do it.
Necessary TNG, maybe 12.
Because that show is the one that I remember when it was on and I would see it all the time, but I like only have vague memories of like the one where the guy's head explodes or like just certain episodes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was also, I think, there's the Black Widow thing.
Right.
And then also Shang-Chi.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, I didn't know anything about Shang-Chi.
I knew it was coming, but yeah, there had no casting announced, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So that's cool.
And that's got, I'm on board because I love Awkwafina. I think she is a
She's so good.
So and I'm excited to hear that. Black Widow takes place in between, what is it, Civil War and... Infinity War or something like that. Like they're picking this little spot that it's, which I find kind of interesting. I don't know what they're going to do.
And that's
there.
First on the slate.
Yeah,
that's May 2020.
And David Harbour's in it, so cool.
Yeah. What is he? Who's he playing?
I think he's playing like the Crimson Dynamo or some shit. So
cool.
That's a
what a fantastic name.
Yeah. I could be wrong on that. I read something.
I think you are that because that's not the name I recognize.
I read something that didn't describe the character, but it said something about Russian and I think red. And I was like, is he going to be doing that thing?
His name is Alexei in it.
Alexei, okay.
Red Guardian.
Red. Oh, okay. I don't know then.
Yeah. Damn.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, that's a spicy meatball.
That's a lot of superhero shit, content. And a lot of it looks like pretty fun stuff.
Yeah.
So there you
watch
go.
It.
Yeah, I'm so excited about all of it. And apparently they've got Phase 5 fairly well figured out, too. They know what the big next crossover event is. Which, there's things to pull from, but I gotta feel like they're gonna go into Secret Wars land, probably.
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat, because that gets into all kinds of cosmic shit. That can bring the Venom world in, if you want. It can do, and introduce...
And I do.
and introduce the Beyonder, which is a hell of a fucking Marvel entity.
I think you're trying to pronounce Beyonce.
They're
gonna introduce Beyonce.
Other than that, I mean, we're getting so cosmic, we have to be going towards Galactus and the Surfer.
Yeah.
That's, I love all the online chatter because apparently they've been trying to draw Keanu Reeves into the Marvel Universe for a while now, but there's a lot of chatter that they're...
He would be a great Surfer.
I love the idea of him as a Silver Surfer.
Oh, I want that, and then bring him in because, you know, he has to start kind of as a villain when he's Herald to Galactus, but then if they do it right... And then what made the Silver Surfer such a fucking fascinating character was when they broke him off from that, when he was released from Galactus's control or, the debt had been fulfilled or whatever the fuck. Because he's just a guy on a planet, and Galactus comes to eat the planet, and he says, I'll give myself to you. I'll become your herald if you save Zen Law. And then so he becomes a surfer and then guides him to... He always tries to find less populated planets, but he's still, you know... He leads lots of people to their death.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he breaks free of that, and then there's just this huge storyline where he just fucking... And he doesn't know what to do now. Because he's this, like, sort of super being or whatever, and he just, like, cruises. It's this psychedelic head trip of him going just through the galaxy and observing, and he's sort of impartial to stuff and doesn't really... Like, it's awesome. It's
That's
really,
cool.
like, a psychedelic fucking... freak out.
It's a mind freak.
You can have like a great...
It's a real Chris Angel mind freak.
I want like a Pink Floyd soundtrack. Yeah. 2001 fucking Silver Surfer movie. I want it bad.
Oh, amazing.
And yeah, Keanu would be great.
I'm on board.
That's the guy.
Well, from Thor, we should circle real quick to Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, holy shit.
New trailer from Taika Waititi.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man. Oh, my God, it looks so good. Because it's this...
It's an anti-war satire.
Yeah, it's like an anti-war satire that could be titled My Pal Hitler.
Yeah. So it's about a young boy in Hitler's army, and he finds out his mother is hiding a Jewish girl in their home, but he also has like an imaginary friend who is Hitler, played by Taika Waititi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which... And so like there's a scene at the end of the trailer of like him to like, oh, hey, Hitler, like my imaginary friend, and... He's looks pretty funny.
Oh man, it looks so great. There's no way it can be bad.
Yeah, and it stars Sam Rockwell, Scarlett Johansson, Rebel Wilson, Stephen Merchant, Roman Griffith Davis, Thomasin McKenzie, so many.
Yeah.
And it's being billed as an anti-hate satire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it could be funny. It's a teaser trailer, so it's like it's a tease of the tone and a laugh. That's about it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that full trailer.
Yeah.
More of an idea of like...
Yeah, that's some wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really quickly on the topic of Waititi, the TV show of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh. Haven't seen it yet.
I watched all of it.
Oh.
Please, for the love of God, watch that show.
Yes, all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch it. Where did you watch it on?
Wink.
So it's television.
You watched
silly.
It? Oh, okay.
I watched it on television.
Because I've been staring at the toilet, just waiting for it to come up.
Because it is hard to get here, but it is so good. I think it rivals the movie.
Yeah.
I think
it's hard to get here, which is funny because they filmed it here.
Yeah.
You fucking dinks.
I'm not sure if it's on Crave. I don't think it is. I looked
it up.
I was trying to get my parents to watch it, and they have Crave, and I searched on Crave. Yeah, it's so good. It is so good.
Yeah,
holy shit! And with the news of Blade and a bunch of other stuff, you gotta watch this.
Is Gabrus on it, or is he just on it for one? Like, is he like a guest?
He's just like a guest star on one episode. Yeah, but I was like, it's Gabrus. Yeah, there's a million. It's that on this. Yeah, holy shit!
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
And he produced it, Taika Waititi. It's just like...
Yeah, him and Jermaine Clement, I think. Yeah,
yeah, like, going into that show, I thought, well, there's no way it'll be as good as what are basically iconic characters. Like, for people that love that movie, it's like, they are the movie.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to turn this into a show where it's a bunch of new vampires that aren't people that aren't them?
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking perfect.
Yeah.
so good.
Yep, well, I'm straight up into it.
Yeah.
I gotta get on
so
that.
Watch it. Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows, baby.
Baby. You wanna get into a little what we've been watching?
Yeah,
is
let's
there
do
any
it.
More news? Are we skipping anything?
I don't think so.
There's stuff, but
let's get into what we're watching.
Is there stuff?
Let's get into it.
No.
So what else, Casey?
Since you want to talk about it so much.
I do. we got to the theater a record two times.
Woo! Nice. Me too.
Wait, maybe more. Oh, no. I think just a two.
Yeah.
Did I talk about Godzilla already?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. We snuck away one day. We paid hooky from work. And we went and saw Child's Play.
I did too.
Oh, hey, nice.
That is delightful. What did you think?
I liked it.
I loved it.
I thought it was, like, not amazing, but I thought what it was going for was so just, like, 3-star great. I had fun, and it was funny.
It is 110% unnecessary.
Yeah.
But... within that, but it's, like, a movie that knows how unnecessary it is, and it's, like... Yeah, we'll build our own kind of reality. Yeah. We'll build our own, like, because it doesn't exactly follow the reality of the
and
first one.
People
it
also were mad, and I was so like ready to be like, I don't want the story of Child's Play again. Those movies are still going. That character of the guy who gets sucked into the doll is still in existence.
Yeah. And it's still
and the
Brad Dourif.
Pretty good.
So don't just give me a new version of that. And what they come up with, it's an AI and it goes awry. Sure.
Yeah.
It's not the best idea, but I roll with
it. No, it's not. And a lot of, like, this movie's built on stupid ideas.
Yeah. It's a little messy.
It's messy. It's shambly, but it feels like a really fun, 90s horror movie romp with some pretty over-the-top brutal gore.
Yeah, I said to my friend, like, this movie answers a question that you didn't know you had, which was, what if a Chucky AI was in a 90s If I Can't Have You, No One Will thriller? Because it's totally like... Mm. They're friends, and he knows that the AI is going awry, and they're kind of like using it to play pranks, and everything's fun until it gets a little too far, and then Chucky starts being like, well, if I can't be your only best friend, I'm going to like hurt the people that are taking you away from me. I was like, he's basically like the roommate in like Single White Female.
Oh, yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
But it's so fun.
And Mark Hamill is wonderful.
Yeah.
How's that... But what is he is make a strong war? Choice? Is it like a?
It's just like
is
a
he doing?
Is
it does it sound
voice.
Like Brad Dourif's thing or is he like?
No, he's.
It's just kind of like he does a creepy voice. It's
the
just
thing
a little
is,
like
with,
Andy. Oh, yeah, I mean, like I don't know
with Brad Dourif's characterization, he's a shitty bad serial killer man.
Yeah.
Who is pretending to be a doll basically until he's not, and then he's like a crazy kind
of and he has a bit of like
guy.
A sick charm
whereas the difference is in AI Gone Awry is he's like this sweet kind of guy character
still an AI
who you know goes off the deep end kind of thing, so there's a difference there's a real difference to the characters it almost has
It's funny.
And I want to say, and I'm not a big fan of Peter Jackson's work, really any of it. Heavenly Creatures is a pretty good movie. But there's elements of this movie that almost have like a Peter Jackson's kind of fun gore kind of movie.
Yeah, the humor, like there's a scene where there's like a head in a gift bag, and it's like being paraded around at dinner, and the kid knows it's a head, but no one else does, and it has that kind of like
it's got a real sitcom kind of quality
to it. But it's a fucked up thing,
So it almost has, or like you know how like elements of Stuart Gordon movies are a little bit silly and fun, It kind of has that. I feel like they really swung for the fences in a brand new way. It feels like who is it? It's Tim Miller,
yeah.
So it kind of has that kind of like winking Deadpool-y kind of a thing.
Sure. He directed it,
yeah.
Tim Miller?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. You're wrong. I thought he did.
No, it's directed by this guy that made a movie called Polaroid previously.
Yeah, Tim Miller.
Polaroid.
Lars Klevberg.
Clevy. I call him Tim Miller for short.
Oh, okay. No, I feel like...
Tim Miller wrote it?
No. I don't think Tim Miller had anything to do with it.
I might be completely wrong. It's a Deadpool guy.
Tyler Burton Smith.
Nope.
Is the one who
wrong.
Wrote it. Did he produce? No, I don't see a production.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Who am I anymore?
In the way that you say, like they swung for the fences, I agree. But it's a swing for the fence where like it comes up short because it's a little bit like I said, it's really kind of rocky and it doesn't hang together amazing.
No,
and
it really doesn't.
The opening stretch, I was kind of like, all right, where are we going? But I just found that, like that kind of, the pace to the movie of like, let's have them have fun and then it gets scary and the kids kind of are trying to take control. It's a movie where no one believes the kids, but the kids are left to take control of the situation, whereas I
but
feel like
you don't
like
even get a good sense of the kids as
no,
don't get like a real kind of Goonies vibe from them, like as
no.
a.
But I did like that. Ultimately, it became a movie where they're like in a really chaotic scenario, and the kids are fighting back.
Yeah,
like at the end of the movie where everything's going crazy in the store. Yeah, it's like a fun movie.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah.
Turn off your brain and enjoy it. It's, you know, it's got Tim Miller all over it.
They really
classic Tim Miller.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. This is his swan song.
He's going to be remembered for this one.
Forever.
Yeah. They do. Somebody else on another podcast mentioned this, but like I couldn't get it out of my head. Once I watched it, was like they go a little bit out of their way to like explain how Aubrey Plaza would be a mom, they're kind of, she's like, listen, I had a crazy 16-year-old birthday or something. And it's like, just, I just go with it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I don't
need that. Like,
cool, you're the mom. Next.
Child's Play by Lars Klevberg. It's fun.
Yep. The Tim Miller of his generation.
Yeah, it's a fun, solid movie.
Yeah.
Greg, what did you see?
Oh, I went to the theater more than once, too.
Nice.
I went to the theater and I saw Midsommar.
I saw that, too.
Oh, good for you, Dan Gorman.
Yeah,
let's talk about Midsommar. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So, Ari Aster.
Is it in keeping with his kind of oeuvre?
It's straight up perfection Tim Miller.
I knew it.
I laughed. I cried. Tim, you did it again.
That guy is everywhere. Well, no. is it a fucking great movie everybody likes that sucks?
Listen, I saw Hereditary and came away from that movie saying, I liked parts of this, but boy, you should have just been the movie that you wanted to be, which was a stupid horror movie.
Yes.
Because you set me up for a movie that was a different movie.
Yes.
And you wanted to be something else, but it didn't work. And then I saw Midsommar and I was like, I still think that about this movie.
I don't.
Okay.
I quite liked Midsommar. It's a far more cohesive movie.
Interesting.
I really liked the look. I think they nailed being high on mushrooms.
Yeah, that's for sure.
In a way I've not ever seen on film. So they got that fucking down. Pretty good. And I liked that it's not really a horror movie either. It's a something bad's gonna happen sometime movie. I don't want to be spoilery, but I mean, it's quite clear. It's been talked about in enough articles and you see it everywhere. It is a breakup movie.
Yeah.
But about a lot of other things too. It has some Wicker Man. It's got some Texas Chainsaw. It's got some other stuff.
Definitely Texas Chainsaw.
Definitely. It's about, well, it's kind of a movie about toxic masculinity. There's like, I don't want to spoil too much or make you look at it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Not the wrong, because you'll think about this after, but you should just watch the story happen. But the archetypes that are presented to you, the personality types.
Oh, yeah.
They all kind of fit into one little thing, and they're all doing something that they don't know that they're doing, which is maybe the best lesson to learn in these days right now is that you don't know that you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, and I loved it. I loved the performances.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's incredible, but and top to bottom, I liked everyone in it, and I loved looking at it. It was
the production
beautiful.
Design is incredible.
Yeah, really remarkable. Then there's a couple of things like, "Oh, that's disgusting."
Yeah.
And I, you know, the Wicker Man stuff is like really there, but I just didn't give a fuck because I feel like they weren't telling the same story, so I don't care. And this is still weirding me out, but in a totally different kind of way.
Yeah.
And it means something else. And when something does something that looks or feels very Wicker Man, it means something entirely different.
Yeah, it's not just saying like that I'm doing. Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Yeah, and listen, man, the Wicker Man's not the best fucking movie in the world, okay? So let's all settle down. We can probably do better than the Wicker Man.
Yeah, people really hold that movie in high regard when they don't
good.
Need to.
It's
yeah.
good. I like it. I've seen it more than once.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's good. You should see it sometime.
I saw a lot of that with this movie, and for me it was like the least of my problems with the movie is that like it's like another movie. Like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be tonally similar to a movie from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That you're not even entirely ripping
off. No, most people, they just know the fucking Nicolas Cage thing. And they're just like, all they know is that some guy gets burnt up in a thing and there's maybe some bees.
Yeah. And there's a bear in both that one and this one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's a bear.
Yeah.
The comedian's a bear. Yeah. No, he's not. He's a wearing a necktie. So...
That's objectively a great joke.
It is.
It's amazing. I think, as a movie, like as a storytelling, I feel like it's way better than Hereditary.
Yeah.
It was much more focused. Yeah, I liked it quite like a lot more.
Nice.
And I just thought about it for days and days afterwards.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, man, they just like you. I walked out feeling a little like, am I high? They really.
Well,
yeah,
even just like not even mushrooms, but just like the looking down at your hands and like the grass is growing through your hands.
It got psychedelics. Seriously. Well. Yeah, I strongly recommend it and see it in theaters because it's great on the
big screen. Definitely recommend it. Yeah, absolutely, because you should see it and see if you like it.
Yeah, I liked it enough that I'm like, do I need to go back to Hereditary?
Yeah,
you know,
I just found that the problems that I had with Hereditary, where I think that Ari Aster is a really great filmmaker and really talented at coming up with these really interesting ideas, but I just found that like. The way things connect and the way that they kind of like ladder up into what happens in the finale, like I definitely agree that in this movie there's more connective tissue. Like what happens at the end of the movie, there's obviously a very specific reason, and you can track that out. But I just find there's still a question to me of just like, well, what is it that you're saying about certain things? And I just feel like he's really good at having all these ideas, but I want someone to kind of rein him in. And it didn't help that this movie was like 2.5 hours.
It
where
is
I
fucking
felt
long.
Like,
but I don't know what I would take out because like and I don't want to leave it just hanging out there that it's about toxic masculinity because it's not.
No, but
it is. That's part of it. Yeah. It's there. But mostly it's a movie about trauma.
Yeah.
And recovering from
totally.
Trauma. And grief.
And finding your family. And finding people that like.
Yes.
Align with you. in a certain way.
I think
more
it sounds
here.
Like if he maybe teamed up with another filmmaker.
Like Tim Miller.
Say a Tim Miller type. Doesn't have to be Tim Miller. Tim Miller type.
The Tim Miller type.
Maybe something would happen. Who knows? Yeah.
Child's Play's Tim Miller would be.
As he's known.
I would like to revisit this because I know that they are planning to put out the longer cut because this is one of those.
There's a longer
cut. Ari Aster's one of those guys who's like, I finished my cut and it was 4 hours or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay. That's a
Christ
fucking
almighty.
Work print. But.
No one likes that.
I think that they're talking about putting out like the 3 hour version as like a half hour longer. And I could see there being like more of the relationship, like, because the movie is a relationship movie.
Or say two bears.
Yeah. Like, I could see there being stuff that was cut out that does make it function more like how I want it to function, because it is such a intense like movie about these people and what they're doing to each other and what they're saying. And like, it's not so much a horror movie. Like, I saw somebody say about this movie, like, what the cult is doing, that it's scary, doesn't even have to be scary. It could just have been like a non-horror movie and it still would be about the same thing. Which I agree. So I would like to see if maybe the longer version expands upon the things that I found interesting in a way that like makes it more solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give it a strong recommendation.
You should definitely see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see it eventually. I like the idea of William Jackson Harper or William Harper Jackson? I can't remember.
I'll find it right now.
I like the idea of him in movies because I genuinely enjoy him. Yeah. So I wanted this to be good because I'd like a good springboard for him.
Yeah, totally. Sweet. What else? I guess circles back to me.
Yeah, even though you saw both of our things.
I did.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well,
selfish
I saw this
asshole.
Movie called Spider-Man. And oh wait, you guys are gonna talk about it later. What did I watch? I watched a lot of stuff. Holy shit. What did I want to talk about?
I don't know.
Well, I watched Her Smell, which is the new film.
Yeah, yeah.
Starring Elizabeth Moss from Alex Ross Perry.
Yeah.
About a self-destructive punk rocker.
Yeah.
And you kind of see her in her worst times, and then you see her in the later years as well. and I'm gonna wait a little bit because I feel like you guys might end up checking it out maybe.
It's definitely on my radar. It's something that I
can't
believe.
I'm sort of curious because
I saw some people talk about it online, like, and hey, this is pretty all right. And I looked it up and I'm like, hey, everyone hated this movie.
It got really, I thought it got
super bad reviews.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
The people that I read talking about it were all like, this is incredible. And I like Alex Ross Perry a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited about it. Yeah. And I don't know. I think I liked about half of the movie.
Are you thinking of Tyler Perry?
You're right.
Yeah. You like Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just Ross Perry, who does those...
who does those pantomimes? Toronto, those wonderful pantomimes.
So
that's a Toronto-only reference.
Yeah, it's a very specific reference.
If you ride
reference.
The subway in Toronto, you yeah, know you know.
Have you ever seen one?
No, of course not.
I have. They do them at the Elgin. I used to work at the Elgin years ago.
I thought that one time years and years ago, we'd all talked about like that would be a punishment.
Every time I ever saw one, someone has to go to one of these. And review it.
Oh, anyway. Yes, please.
Oh, it's a punishment, man.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, if you're curious what we're talking about, just Google Ross Perry Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Ross Petty.
Ross Petty.
Ross Petty, Petty. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to reserve to talk. I need to talk about Her Smell with Music People. So,
okay.
You check it out if you feel
right,
up to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And then, really quickly, I watched a movie from 1985 called Young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I have seen that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a
like
good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Barry Levinson directed it, and Industrial Light and Magic, I think, did a bunch of effects for it. It's one of the like first CGI scenes. Yeah. Here's the thing about that movie.
I haven't seen it in
a long time.
20 years?
It's fun. It's not like an incredible movie.
But I loved it as a kid, and I know I watched it at least over 20.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, hey,
yeah,
this
fun
is
movie.
This is pretty fucking decent.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's a fun movie, but... I guess it was probably Chris Columbus because he wrote it, but somebody decided, hey, this movie needs to be about someone who's going around and making everybody trip the fuck out, and when they trip the fuck out, they're going to see awesome puppets. So, like, right there, I'm just like, well, this rules. Every, like, half hour, somebody's food comes alive and turns into a puppet with eyes and attacks them, or, like, I'm just like, I love it.
That sounds pretty watchable.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, Spielberg produced things. It's a lot of fun. You should watch Young Sherlock Holmes if you haven't. If you're looking for that 80s thing where like you want to go back to that Spielberg-esque and you've seen Goonies already a million times, put this on. Young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
What about you, Casey?
Oh, me, yes. Well, I as my quote today indicated, I watched Always Be My Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to,
we watched that, and that is a fucking delight.
Isn't it great?
Just an absolute delight. It just does. Yeah, and it really trods a lot of the same archetypes of the rom-com thing.
Yeah, but
it does them so wonderfully, and it does them very
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Easy, Tim Miller.
it really comes by them honestly, or rather it like sets them up as like these typical rom-com things, but then does like a real human thing with them.
Yes, totally. And it like flips a couple things on their head. Like I like that, you know, when, because obviously the couple is going to come into turmoil, right? And when that's kind of happening, what they do, because she's super successful and he's not.
Yeah.
And he's just like a bohemian musician guy, whatever.
But he's like decidedly unsuccessful.
Right.
And I loved seeing that. I loved seeing somebody who was standing in their own way.
Absolutely. But normally in a movie like this, when they decide they're, okay, we'll make the woman the successful one, and the guy, and then she's got to learn to come down to his level and be like, I can be carefree, blah, and they don't do that.
Yeah.
He has to fucking get his shit together because she's a fucking success. So
she's like,
grow
hey,
the fuck up.
Yeah. I'm living in the adult world. You can either come and have a successful relationship by being an adult, or you can wallow in your own shitty little world, like tiny world that you've created for yourself.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's really fucking great. And you know what I absolutely loved? I loved his band. Because there's like
I really liked his band.
Like, because it's this kind of like 90s hip hop esque kind of band that he's in. But there's something a little bit more about them because, first of all, he's not a traditional rapper.
No.
but in that, he's a fucking fantastic rapper. Because
absolutely.
He's just like, he's not trying to be like a hip-hoppy rapper kind of guy.
No.
He's just a guy saying some rhymes.
Yeah.
And there's something super charming about that.
Totally. Yeah, it's a great movie. And really funny. I laughed hard at
super
a lot of
funny.
Stuff. Yeah.
But also just so charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. So I watched that. And then another thing real quick, because I don't think either of you guys are going to give a fuck about this.
Mm-hmm.
Finished season 2 of Big Little Lies.
Oh, nice. I did too. Nice. So I do give a fuck about that.
Oh, you did?
Oh, shit, yeah. I got back on that show because I wasn't really feeling it at the beginning.
Yeah, I remember. I'm surprised that you watched it.
So, I was like, I got to, I realized that I wanted something else.
Yeah.
So, cast is so good. Got to go back. Went back. Crushed season
1.
First
season's so good.
Got into season 2. I like season 2 better, and I'll tell you why.
Did you finish season 2?
Yes. Is there a new... I'm up
Have
to date, I think.
It's over now. Have you seen...
Okay, I think... No, I'm probably one episode away.
Okay, then I
the won't... The last episode I saw was called The Bad Mother or whatever.
So the trial has started.
Yeah.
Or not trial.
Yeah, it's been announced that there's going to, and... So no... Yeah, I think I have one more episode to go.
Okay, yeah, you do.
Okay. I think I like it better than season 1, but here's what it has. That season 1, season 2 is better because season 1 has all the fucking ding-dongs talking about them the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
And I hated that shit.
That sucked.
That fucking sucked because they're all bad actors and they're all being very precocious about it.
Well, yeah, like everybody's like, oh, well, we're the people from the town who talk about each other all the time.
Winky dinky doo, you're like you're in a fucking community theater show here and I fucking hate you.
Yeah, that part is super
it
gross.
It really turned me off.
But despite that, everything else about season 1 is really great. Season 2 has been fraught with problems and infighting.
Yeah, that's correct. They did.
Jean-Marc Vallée was gone from the project, and they had this Andrea Arnold, who's done like some really cool film.
Yeah, American Honey.
Right.
They did her dirty.
Yeah, big time. she was supposed to have creative control, and then Jean-Marc Vallée was like, oh, no, I'm just going to come in and edit this shit the way I want to. But let me tell you something. It is to great fucking effect.
Yeah, that's
because this is... it's hands down the best soap opera I have ever seen.
Yeah.
It's way too clever sometimes. It suffers from David E. Kelly disease.
Sure.
But I don't care because I loved... Like, there's something about watching Entourage. Entourage is a fucking flaming pile of garbage all the time.
Yeah.
But there's that opulence porn about it where you're like, oh, it's these idiots who have a lot of money and don't know what to do with it kind of thing. This is great because you're watching these, affluent adults. It's like this aspirational wealth porn where you're like, ah, these people have so much money. Look at their lovely houses. And they're miserable. But performance-wise, this season is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say, like, I mean, there's a couple of performances that are just, like, fucking head and shoulders. Yeah. I mean, Meryl Streep just comes in and is...
Meryl Streep.
Well,
like...
It's not just that she comes in and she's going to... I'm Meryl Streep and I'm just good at acting. She comes in and she has a little prosthetic done to her teeth because she's playing another character's... mother.
Yeah.
And so she comes in and she's doing a very mild impression of that actor.
Amazing.
It's nuts.
But also, like, it's fucked.
Yeah.
It is fucked her performance.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't win some kind of Emmy award or whatever they give you TV.
Yeah, sandwiches.
Yeah. Sammy.
If she doesn't win a million sandwiches.
The Sammy.
That's from jail.
Then there's no justice.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking crazy what she does. And but above all of that, fucking Laura Dern.
Yeah, dude.
In this season is because in the first season you're like, oh god, what a bitch.
Yeah,
she's such a fucking asshole.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, and I hate her. But then eventually you kind of learn not to hate her. And then in this season you're like, oh my god, I love you, you horrible bitch. Because you're just like, oh. You just get a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain, and you're like, oh, but then all this other shit is terrible in your life and shit. But she's like this strong woman who's just desperately trying to hang on to some shit that is just being taken away from her by a fucking idiot.
Oh my god.
Oh, I loved it. So much.
Very good.
So I need to watch it because I loved the first season, but when the second season started airing, for whatever reason, I was just kind of like, I was watching a different show, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to get to it eventually. So
that's great.
Now that it's out,
it's
and
like
done.
It's eight episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the last episode. The last episode is actually, without spoiling anything, it wraps everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like an uncomfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
But I still loved it.
Yeah.
It kind of goes like, oh, you remember this person's storyline? Here's how that unfolds. You remember this person's storyline? Here's how that wraps up. This one, this one, this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's done. And then it goes, oh, where are they? man, what a fucking successful show.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Big Little Lies. The only other thing I'll mention real quick is CNN is doing a series on the decades of film. And they put out an episode on the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good watch. Like, you're not going to see any movies in there that you've never heard of. But it spurred Emma and I to make like a big list of the ones that either we hadn't seen or hadn't seen in a long time want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which I had seen, but she had never seen, was DC Cab. Tim Miller, you've done it again.
Tim Miller's DC Cab.
I've seen DC Cab a lot of times.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, Mr. T. How'd he get that
car
door?
How'd he rip that door off that car? Emma had never seen Mad Max 2, Road Warrior.
Oh.
So we watched that. Fuck. And guess what?
What?
Still cool.
No, the best.
Still cool.
That was a fundamental movie for me.
Yeah.
Expanding my mind and interest in film.
Gasoline.
Boy.
Yeah, that's George Miller directing cars flying at each other.
it's the best so head-on collision on film ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. It just made me be like, I got to rewatch Fury Road.
I've only seen
it twice, so you got to see it more.
I think I've only seen it once in the theater.
Yeah.
It's all the same to you. I'll drive that tanker.
Yeah, so I got a bunch of other like 80s stuff to go through.
Yeah, nice. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Started high. That's a high bar.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Gregory.
Anything else before film roulette?
Watched Stranger Things season 3.
Nice.
You're all done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watched all of it.
I saw most of it. It was one of those things where like I can't stop Emma from finishing it without me because she wants to finish it. So like I missed a couple episodes, but I saw most of it.
Yep.
It's still fun. Show.
Yeah, yeah. We're watching it. I don't know why. I thought the first season started great and then just got really shitty and boring. And I thought the second season was fucking terrible. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to watch Stranger Things because that's what you fucking do. Mm. And I think I watch it because I love the music so much.
It's good.
Like, I'm super into the music.
Yeah.
Really enjoying this season.
It's good. It's super hopper heavy, which is great. And
people seem to be very torn about like, oh, the Hopper character, what are they doing with him this season? And I was kind of like, I don't know. It didn't seem like some crazy left
been doing
turn or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that he is a completely fallible police chief. Like, he's like a guy who has as many bad ideas as he has good ideas.
Yeah.
I feel like people didn't see that from the start. Like, he's always been kind of like that, yeah, you know? Yeah. It's just the onion layers have been coming off.
That's
and
been
it's
terrific.
You know?
Alive.
Yeah. So I thought it was so strange that people, yeah, were so...
So I'll wrap it up anyway. I finished the whole season, and I thought it was terrific. I had a great time. It's a fun idea. I enjoyed everything.
Yeah.
And the progression of Steve is just still continues to be fucking delightful.
Yeah. I absolutely love that they've teamed up Steve and Henderson. Is that the
yeah?
Because I love their chemistry.
It's
together.
Very yeah. good.
And God damn it, Uma Thurman's daughter is fucking great.
She's so good. Really good. How far in are you?
I think I'm probably about halfway. They've just gotten to Brett Gelman.
Nice.
Yeah, there's some good stuff coming.
Yeah.
It ends, the second half of the season is better than the first. Speaking of David Harbour, though, did you guys watch Frankenstein's
Monster
Frankenstein. Yeah. No.
Yes.
I'm dying to see it.
I did.
I watched it, too.
Yeah.
That's a fun time.
That's a fun
is
time.
It great?
I'm so good. Glad somebody made that.
It's like, at a half hour, you're like, thanks.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Right. But I did find myself like, I'm going to go watch that again.
Yeah.
And
how I got into Juilliard.
It's one of those things where you're like, I didn't know that I wanted to see a Pitch Perfect recreation of this type of televised play.
But oh, shit.
But it's
so good.
And they lean in just enough on the, like, intentional mistakes, like where the door won't close and you see the actor try to close the door and stuff.
Or things taking too long.
Yeah, like, they lean just in enough for it to be clearly, like, satirical and jokey, but not so far where you're like, all right, you're just doing a crazy heightened version, it's just the right balance.
It's very good. I'm just glad it exists. It's great. David Harbour is super fucking funny in it.
He's doing a pretty, from what I understand, from what I've seen from the previews, he's doing a pretty dead on Orson Welles.
But that's not really part of it. I mean, it is.
It's like
a
throwaway gag, basically.
Yeah, that's very worth it.
Where it's like his dad started doing commercials, and then that they just cut to that. Yeah. But it's still funny. And
it's
really
a good
good.
Time.
Yeah.
David Harbour. He's wonderful.
It's one of those things, like, I want more of that on Netflix. Like, give me the Bash Brothers.
Make
give
crazy
me
things.
This thing. I want, yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's very good.
Season 2 of I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
What's happening?
There
totally
you go.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I do want to say about Stranger Things Season 3 so far is that I felt like they didn't give Winona Ryder enough good stuff to do in the first couple seasons, so she's just kind of there. She is fucking amazing in this season. Mm. She's so good. She's super funny. She's like everything that I used to love about Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
I felt like it was gone in the first couple seasons, but it's like super back in this one.
Yeah, I get the idea that, like, this
she's
80s...
really shoplifted my heart.
Like, I get the idea that there's people that hate the 80s, like fetishism, but to me it's like...
I get tired of it.
Yeah, but, like, I get it, like, and I get that this is that, but at the same time, I think there is a difference between, like, a Kung Fury or one of those crazy over-the-top things and, like, junk food. Like, you can hate junk food. That's fine. You can hate Stranger Things. I don't care. That's fine. But, like... it's just fun. I just, like, eat my fries,
and
then I forget about
time.
My fries.
Yeah. The thing is, I feel like it's less rampant in the... like, I feel like this season feels more like it's just set in the 80s, and it really wants you to know that it's set in the 80s with its crazy, colorful costumes, and they're like, look at what we got Eleven dressed up in now.
Yeah.
And in a mall, the 80s loved malls. But I feel like it's less, like, paraded in front of me as it is just really garish set dressing now.
Yeah. And I think it does a balance of, like, showing me things from the 80s and, like, being a good show with, like, stuff going on with the characters. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it is just like, 80s in your face, fuck you. like, it's a fucking show, too.
Which this, like, the second season I thought was fucking terrible for that. They're like, look, we got a fucking 80s gang of punks in here now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, look at how 80s punks these guys are. Fuck off.
Yeah. Stranger Things, worth a watch. I like it.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard of it, check it out.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix or something. Is it Crave?
Yeah.
The guy who did Deadpool is involved in some
familiar Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Is directed by Deadpool.
Yeah. Anything else before we go into Film Roulette?
Nah, I'm good.
All right.
I got one thing.
What?
I watched a Dan Gorman suggestion.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd you watch?
I watched Avengement.
Oh, nice. Ah. We got to carve out a couple minutes for Avengement.
Yes, we fucking do.
Right?
Scott Adkins, who I adore.
Give that man an award.
He makes 6 movies a year, and every 2 years, one of them is amazing.
Yeah.
And this is amazing. I fucking loved this movie.
Listen, he is incredible in this movie.
Because all the fighting and everything he's always good at is top form.
Incredible.
But his performance is
so good.
Fucking awesome in this.
Award worthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
he sells the, like, when he is just a guy who isn't an insane fighter, and then when he is a guy who is an insane fighter, both are very believable.
Yes.
And you feel the transition from guy who's in over his head into guy who is a fucking monster.
Yeah. To give a little, so the storyline of this is he plays a boxer whose family is involved in some mobby stuff and whatever, and he's supposed to throw a fight, but he doesn't because he's kind of cocky and stupid. And then because of that, he has to make amends by pulling some small job. Things go fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And he goes to jail. And while he's in jail, a price is put on his head. And so literally every day that he's in jail, multiple people try and kill him.
Yeah.
And he becomes better and better and better at fighting multiple people trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Until he becomes the scariest man alive.
The
scariest man on the planet. And then he breaks out to go get revenge on who put the price on his head.
Yeah. And the whole movie is in one of those kind of fractured narratives where it's like the beginning of the movie is him breaking out and we see flashes to
and
all the fights that brought him
together
to where he is now. Which is been done before, but very executed in a really
handled well. He nails it because he's so captivating.
Yeah.
And then when the violence happens, it is fucking explosive.
Holy shit.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please watch Avengement.
I can't stress enough. This guy who is good in movies overall, like he's not one of those guys who like, oh, you're a terrible actor.
No.
He's always been charming and fun in his movies, but like this is like a fucking performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, so
loved
good.
It.
So good.
2019.
Yeah.
Top 10.
So, some of the fights, holy shit.
Insane. Some of them? All of them, I think. Every fight I was like, oh!
Yeah. don't bust someone's face on that or whatever.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. It's great.
Whew,
yeah. Avengement.
Good.
Check it out.
Times.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, then let's go to Film Roulette now. Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Spider-Man, Casey and Greg. The loser...
Spider-Man, colon, Casey.
Casey and Greg. The loser.
Why did they call it that? We have very little to do with it.
I know. Mm. I'll call Tim. The loser, Dan Gorman, got to watch a movie at home.
Mm.
This week it was called, what was it called again? Had the name of another movie, Domino.
Oh, yay!
And the loser gets to give the winners an album to talk about for the rest of the week. We'll roll and get the album and so on and so forth and onwards and upwards, always twirling. We will go. This week, Spider-Man Far From Home, directed by John Watts, 2019, 129 minutes. Peter Parker and his friends go on a summer trip to Europe. However, they will hardly be able to rest. Peter will have to agree to help Nick Fury uncover the mystery of creatures that cause natural disasters and destruction throughout the continent. This is getting 3.8 out of 5 on average from users on Letterboxd. Starring the usual suspects, Tom Holland, John Favreau, plus newbies like Jake Gyllenhaal.
What?
He's new to the series.
Why are you reading like that?
He's new to the series. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.8 out of 5.
On average, there's going to be some haters. This is an average weight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people who hated this movie are straight up wrong. this movie was fucking great.
Yeah, they just, Marvel does the right thing all the time.
Like, it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a Marvel movie for the first time is using some real world influence, and we've got some fake news element or deep fake technology we're looking at, and a lot of feeling on, because everything's upside down, and there's the one that reflects the state of the world today the most, where like there's no, we feel like all the heroes are gone, there's Avengers all fucked, it's all, we don't know what's happening, everyone's trying to recover from everything being all fucking upside down for 5 years, and yeah, but it's still like a fun, light, fun movie.
It's still like a fun teen romp.
Yeah,
where nice. But like, I find a lot of teen movies these days, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what these teens do. Fuck these youthful teens. They can fuck their lives up all they want. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I care deeply about these teens. I was like, yeah, come on, you kids. You're going to be all right. That one's a Spider-Man. But like it's so sweet. It's such a sweet movie. Yeah. And like them hanging Spider-Man on Tom Holland, I think, was the absolute right choice.
Oh yeah,
like this kid is so crazy likable.
Yeah,
like for my money, hands down the best Peter Parker.
Oh sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying the best Spider-Man, because I don't know, the fucking Miles Morales Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah, very good.
But there's nothing about this movie I would have changed. Like, from start to finish, it is 100% super fun all the time.
And two post-credit scenes, and both of them very significant.
Yeah. And very shocking.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you about the second one, though, if it's rooted in sort of Marvel history. But we'll talk about that off air.
Sure.
So we get to Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
Jakey Gills.
Fucking wow.
That guy's a good actor.
Like, he
what the fuck? Good night.
I thought I'd go with it. He is so fucking wonderful. And they marketed this movie so perfectly, because everybody knows Mysterio is a villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody knows what, as a villain, he does, right? Like, he kind of fucks with your mind with all this like crazy, mysterious bullshit. But the way they because, like, basically the way the Marvel movie handles, you know, original kind of Marvel lore is it kind of goes into two camps. You know, it's either aliens or, you know, like crazy tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie chooses the right path and does it in the right way that, and like the whole scene where he sort of like unleashes his fucking crazy Mysterio nonsense is fucking stunning.
Yeah.
I feel like they did everything right.
Nice.
Yeah. One thing I will say, I thought J.B. Smoove was kind of
underused.
Wasted.
Yeah, just there.
Like, he was just there to make jokes that weren't that funny.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't integral or anything.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked.
Well, yeah, whatever. But state of Marvel going forward, like, with all these announcements in San Diego and this and how, like, what these, and the two, like, you... The two post-credit scenes are big.
Yeah.
There's some stuff going there, and it could really lead in a lot of directions and open up a lot of the stuff we were talking about as well. So, yeah, very fucking exciting.
How was this, like, because I saw people before the movie came out being like, how is it going to play after Endgame, being like, oh, well, now we're off on a trip after that horrific event or whatever.
It works fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Why,
I don't know, like, why. I never really understood that.
Because it kind of just goes, like, all of the events of Endgame... and Infinity War, all of those things happened and everything, and then the world rebuilt itself and got over it,
and then
moved on and did their lives.
Yeah,
just like
everyone's
do.
Back, and people are just readjusting to it. So people feel weird. Life is just kind of going on, and you know, like I think everyone got everyone back, so everyone's kind of in a good mood because for 5 years, everything was fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
Because half of everyone was dead.
But then everybody came back, and now they're starting to be able to, like, make jokes about it and stuff.
Sure.
And this movie has some great fucking jokes about how that those 5 years between affected people and affected, you know, where they are in their lives kind of thing. Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. And it's a great little epilogue. I had two beers. it ties a bow on the Infinity War storyline.
Yeah, it really does kind of like let us get over that and on to the next the next phase.
But if you could feel like the openness of like unknown for the first time in the Marvel Universe of like everything feels really everywhere and like and you know there's the presence of the Avengers not being there in this, and that's good.
It's
exciting.
Sweet. Yep.
Pretty good.
Nice. Very nice.
Far from home.
Just a quick kind of cap on it. Fucking, I love Zendaya. Zendaya?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love her. Yep. Like, she's so great at playing, like, just kind of like a really sweet nerd. Like, who's, like, also a little bit sarcastic. Like, she's great at playing, like, the girl in high school that you would have had a crush on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super totally. Good.
Sweet. Spider-Man, go see it.
Yeah. Do it.
I'm gonna.
He's far from home. What's he doing out there?
What are you doing out there?
Sweet. Well, I saw a movie, paid $4.99 for it.
Domino.
Called Domino, starring Domino Harvey. I can't get ever. I'm just like, Domino, what movie is
what?
That?
Yeah.
You remember? My name's Domino Harvey. You remember that? Keira Knightley?
Keira Knightley?
Oh, yeah. The Tony Scott movie?
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
Yeah. I always think of that when I hear Domino, but 2019 by Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
Seeking justice for his partner's murder by an ISIS member, a Copenhagen police officer finds himself caught in a cat-and-mouse game. This is starring Guy Pearce.
Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, Jamie Lannister as well. And many others.
Yes.
This movie went through the ringer with production issues. They didn't have the money, I guess, they said they were going to have, and there was a lot of Brian De Palma just, like, waiting around in Copenhagen to try and make this movie, and then once he did try and make this movie, they, like, took it away from him and chopped it up without his... I don't... Like, it basically was one of those movies where just, like, from start to finish, shit was not going right. And let me tell you, you watch this movie and you're like, that makes sense. Because this is bad, but it's... To be fair... It's bad in a way where I'm like, well, this is interestingly bad.
Yeah, I've seen the first 20 minutes, maybe 30.
The first 20 or 30 minutes, you're like, this is bad, but it's a setup to a movie that's kind of
sure,
be cool.
But it's so, like, it's so off. The music doesn't fit.
The music is weird.
It's really weird.
And there's, like, the fonts to, like, the opening and stuff. You're like, did you just, like, somebody just use, like, the standard font from, like, Film Cut Pro or whatever? Like, it looks like no effort went into the, like, presentation of this edit.
Yeah. And the rooftop scene?
Yeah.
Really weirdly shot.
I
and
liked
paced.
The rooftop scene.
But
and the music. I was like, this is a De Palma scene. It's like a weirdly edited thing where he's trying to do like Vertigo, but it's like everything is weird. And I was like, at least this is like unexpected. I don't know what the next shot's going to be because it's all
because it's not
rhythms.
Behaving like a movie at all.
Yeah.
The music's doing one thing and the visuals are something entirely
totally.
Different.
and I was at least like, well, I like this because I don't know what it is. What's going on? It's a weird mishmash of shit.
But weird setup too is like his partner gets killed because he forgot his gun.
Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah, I banged this girl and I left my gun there.
Yeah.
Can I use yours? And that's what happens.
Yeah. And then so the guy doesn't have his gun anymore.
Yeah, and then he gets fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
staring at him out the window like, oh, you better get that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and the dialogue is really weird and has that kind of like weird tone to it and weird written, like it's. Like sometimes you watch movies and it has that offbeat weirdness to the tone of the dialogue and it can work. And yeah, here it's just very weird and airless and odd. And the whole movie is that way. And it really opens like it could be interesting. And then it just gets super boring. Super fucking boring.
Oh, no.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're in a fun shambles.
Like, there's a bit of a, like, campy entertainment to it, but yeah, it gets real.
Because I had a lot of fun with the weirdness and badness of that first 20 minutes.
It does not last.
That sucks.
Yeah, and so, like, it's just a weird, stilted little movie that had a lot of issues and that I guess De Palma probably doesn't really like much. And, I mean, I kind of like that set piece at the beginning. That's about all there is to it. It's just a weird movie. Watch the first half hour, like Greg, and just...
then turn it
turn
off.
Turn it right the fuck off.
Unless you want to see like a crappy ending with drones where they're like, oh, no, a drone with a bomb or something. Like, I don't care.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, Domino, Brian De Palma, that sucks.
Yep.
Make another good movie,
yeah,
please, De Palma.
Or one much worse.
Yeah, much, much worse.
Yeah.
Well, we had an album.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had an album by Rob Thomas, Chiptooth Smile.
Chiptooth.
This one's for the real fans.
Yeah.
This one's for the real fans.
Yeah.
I'm glad. This has been with me all the way.
You don't like it, Bobby, a real fan.
I'm glad he did distinguish who this album was for,
yeah,
because listening to it, I couldn't tell who this was for.
Yeah. And let me tell you, listening to it, I was like, this is not at all what I expected. Even after Greg was like, well, he said it is like 80s influenced. I was like, okay, I guess. And then I put it on the album and I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
But like, I feel bad talking about this album.
I gave it a scan based on your suggestion there. I listened to up to the chorus of almost every song until I hit that Phil Collins song. And I was like,
Wow. That one is amazing.
It's crazy. It's just in the air tonight.
It is. Yeah. It's just
the vocal effect, everything.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. The drums. Yes. Like, not the drum pattern or anything.
No,
yeah,
but it's like a guy was like, what if I covered that song but didn't use anything from that song and made it suck the most?
But it's like, it's like he's like, I want to make kind of an 80s tinged album because like the 80s are so big right now. But God bless him, he had no idea how.
No.
So he was like,
just because he mentioned Night Ranger.
But that's the thing. That song specifically made me feel very bad for Rob Thomas, because I'm like, because the rest of the songs are just nothing songs.
It's like
they're just
I found it to be very like, what if a pop album from right now? It was almost like because Carly Rae Jepsen does the 80s thing and does it well, and it's like, what if somebody was trying to do a modern 80s pop like that, but couldn't do it well, and so it just sounds boring.
But he doesn't even do that on every track. Some of the tracks are just kind like of, it, just like a Mumford and Sons album or something with even less ideas. And those tracks are just like, well, you're not a strong songwriter. That's fine. You did your best. But then there's that Phil Collins song that's like, whoa, dude, this is actually offensive. But the most offensive thing is that song that you're talking about where he mentions he mentions specifically Sister Christian. Because there's something that there's like a hot minute where the Wayans brothers were, or like the cast of A Living Color, when the Scary Movie movies came out or something, they were like hosting things and they hosted an awards show. And I can't remember who it was. It was one of the Wayans brothers did this whole bit where he would just make a sentence out of the names of movies. And it was like, this is really embarrassing. You think this is funny? You're just saying the names of movies in context with what is loosely basically a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the song is.
Yeah.
The song is like the names of songs from the 80s talking about how the 80s was fun. But it's just, it's not even referencing.
Yeah.
It's not cleverly referencing. It's just saying the names of songs in a very loose structure. And I'm like, oh,
like,
you
like, there's a way to do that works.
I don't know that there is. I don't think that there's a way to do it.
It makes
where
me think
it's
of this,
not embarrassing.
It makes me think of this Okkervil River song called Plus Ones, which is almost all made up of like song titles that have numbers in them, but instead of the number, it's the number plus one. But they all add up to like a song with a point and like a story to the song. And so it's like you've used a bunch of other things and tweaked them in a certain way and then used them to like tell the story of something. Whereas this is just like, hey, 80s is good and I know a song.
Yeah. Like it was where I was like, I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't expect that much from you, Rob Thomas. But this is in no way smooth.
No. This one was more going to push you around.
Oh, yeah, he was like,
I'm
warning, I'm going to push you around, and I will.
I will push you around.
I will. He's not Elmer Fudd. This keeps morphing into various things.
You want to?
Your Honor, I'm going to put you around.
And I will.
I will. Your Honor,
I will.
This trial's gone on way too long. It's 3 a.m. and I must be lonely.
Your Honor, I know it's not my band, but I smell sex and candy.
And that is from my time frame. So it's kind real of you.
Kind
of
sounded the same.
My closing argument, Jim Blossoms.
Yeah, it was a bad album.
Yep.
Yeah,
really bad.
Just a real bummer. But I was like, you gave it a shot, pal.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Good job.
Yeah. So.
What do you got?
I got a Punishment album, and it's not the new album by Hawkeye, because I don't know if that's out yet.
No.
But I know two things about you guys that I know is true. I know these two things are true.
I hate this.
Wow, Dan, how long have we known each other? You only know two things about
us. I only know
us.
Two things. I know that you guys do not like pop punk.
Uh-huh. That is 100%
true. 100%
true. Yeah.
Thing two, I know that you guys do like Descendants.
That is 100% true
as
well.
100% true.
Also true.
I love Descendants.
So, listen to an album called Homage. Lots of bands doing Descendants songs.
Oh, my God. I'm going to hate this more than anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't even like all. Like, I don't like... Because I love Milo. Like, I'm a huge fan of Milo Ackerman. I love his voice. I love the way he sings. And I love the songs that they did. And there's a lot of all that really sounds like Descendants songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is never the same.
No, no. Because
I like
the guy's
all,
trying to do
a
Milo thing.
Yeah.
So having other much lesser bands... this is really going to bother me.
Let me just get this up to... there's a lot of tracks on this.
What's it called?
It's called Homage.
Yeah, but what am I...
Lots of bands doing Descendants
songs.
I feel
like it's got to be pronounced Homage.
Is it on the thing?
Homage. It's on Spotify.
Yeah. Oh, it's called... It's literally called Lots of Bands Doing...
Yeah. Just type in Homage. Homage. There is 30 songs,
Jesus,
or about 29 songs.
Fuck you, man.
They're all short. They're I will tell you this.
Yeah, but they're going to be doing some songs. Like, there are Descendant songs that mean a lot to
me.
Like Dirty Sheets and Sour Grapes and like even Suburban Home.
Here, I'll tell you this. Pavement do a song on this?
What?
Yep.
Lots of bands.
Really?
What? What is it? I can't find it on Spotify.
Just type in Homage, H-O-M.
No, that brings up a million things.
Oh, yeah. What about Homage Descendants? You know how I found it is I was on Pavement's Spotify page and you scroll down, appears on, and it shows you all the like compilations they're on. That's how I found it. I'll help you find it.
Jesus
off,
Christ.
Off mic. But yeah, there's a lot of bands on here. And so here's the thing. The Pavement song does not sound anything like Pavement. But I did see people online talking about like this that song as if it was a Pavement song, like this like, weird lo-fi early Pavement song or whatever. So I don't know if it's like some weird recording of them from before they were even like a real band doing, because it sounds very like lo-fi and young and recorded with like a mic on the other side of the room. It could also just be some nobody band named their thing Pavement, and this is the only, like, I can't tell if it is Pavement or not.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as I know, it is, but I don't know how to prove that. I've never heard them talk about it.
Yeah.
Can you send it to me on Spotify? Is that a possibility?
I can share it to you. So there you go. 30 or so songs.
Yeah.
I've listened to this whole thing. Let me tell you, can't wait to hear what you think.
I'm not going to like it.
Nope.
You're going to fuck up a lot of songs I really love.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what I'm here for.
It really is. You love having terrible bands destroy songs I love.
Yeah.
Yep. Listen, I found my niche.
Yeah.
There it is.
Great.
Well, now we get to roll.
Yeah.
Well, this week, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood comes out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we got to do that.
Yep.
Also, let me tell you, I read just before we got here, somebody did a screening of it somewhere. I think it was in L.A., and the person came out to introduce this screening and said, this movie is being shown on 35 millimeter. I don't know what that is, but I've been told to tell you that.
Oh.
Which makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at which point J.J. Abrams and fucking Christopher Nolan were like, actually.
So we got to do that.
Yeah.
And then as a loser film,
mm-hmm.
What did we decide on?
That Netflix.
The Netflix film. What's that called?
Silent Obsession.
Silent Obsession.
That might not be what it's
so
called.
So a very silly
dangerous
obsession.
Dangerous obsession. Yeah.
Dangerously
like
silly obsession.
Yeah. Obsession.
What if you woke
man.
Up and your husband was there and you don't remember him because you got hit on the head and you went home with him and maybe he's yeah. not your husband.
But also you don't remember because he's not your husband.
Secret
remember?
Obsession.
Secret obsession.
Secret obsession of silly things.
Yeah.
You it's are not secretly so obsessed secret. With
the trailer for this guy I love because it's on the thing. Yeah. And it just starts playing the trailer. So I've seen the trailer like three times.
Yeah.
I watch it every time like, Jesus Christ. And yeah. it's like the acting is bad. It looks bad. Oh, boy.
I'm but they're in. Really pushing it. Like, it's on yeah. the front page.
Yeah, it's all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to have to find out.
Yeah.
One of us.
All right. Let's roll.
Silly obsession.
Silly obsession.
Four.
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 Three.
Three.
Press the button. Oh. This?
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
Casey, all right. Your obsession just got
secret.
No one must know.
Mm. Well, next week we will talk about Secret Obsession. We will talk about the new Quentin Tarantino film.
Yep.
We will talk
Shit.
About...
Yeah, there you go.
29. We'll talk about... you just realized you got to listen...
Guys.
You just realized you have to listen to 29 Descendants songs.
Yeah, but yeah. also, like oh, whatever, I got to see this stupid movie.
No,
that's fine.
No,
it's
yeah.
on Netflix
no, Tarantino
or whatever.
For you.
But I'm not allowed... No, fuck you guys. No, I'm not going to be... Well, I mean, my mother-in-law just left, so we don't have a built-in
yeah, your,
babysitter
your movie,
anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So have fun with that.
Yep.
Thanks, fuckheads.
Yeah.
yeah.
But otherwise, that's all the stuff we'll talk about on our next episode.
Mm.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Internet.
Yeah.
We will see you next Wednesday. Under the moon.
Under the moon. There's a Tim at the end of my Miller.
This podcast has been brought to you by...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.